The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman, and we've got a really great show for you. Purim's long gone now. We're getting ready for Pesach. That's what we're going to be doing. The Passover holiday is in just 3 weeks away and change. In this half hour of the show, to help you get ready for Passover, we will be speaking with Simon Levine, who is an expert, one of the Midwest's expert on kosher wine. We have lots and lots and lots of new Jewish music. One very old piece that I'm very happy to say I came by. It's a klezmer piece recorded in 1914, right in the middle of the show. We're going to play that one. The portion of the week is the portion of Tazria, which is found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 12 and following. We're going to tie that in with the upcoming Passover holiday. An awesome Hasidic story. Before we do anything else, let's get right to the news. An Israeli military court ruled that the IDF soldier caught on video shooting a downed Palestinian terrorist in the head will face charges of manslaughter, not murder. The soldier, who arrived after two terrorists stabbed a soldier in Hebron, said he shot the remaining terrorist as he believed he was wearing a bomb. Israeli security forces conducted a series of raids across Judea and Samaria to pick up wanted terrorists. A total of 16 suspects across the Palestinian Authority were captured. Israel extended the distance off the coast of southern Gaza that fishermen are allowed to fish in from 6 miles to 9 miles. Those are nautical miles. Israel imposed a blockade to prevent weapons smuggling into Hamas-controlled Gaza. Israel's state-run electricity company has reduced the power to Jericho as the Palestinian Authority owes $450 million in electric bills. The Israeli state-run electric company is very patient. A similar move to shut electricity for 4 hours a day back in 2015 was canceled after it met with criticism from the U.S. State Department. Israel's, and now some lighter news, Israel's agriculture ministry is opening 28 model farms around India, to teach Israel's agri-technology. The centers will focus on irrigation, crop choice, and pest control to help India in producing crops. The first ever, for those who care, the first ever direct flight between San Francisco and Tel Aviv will take off this Wednesday evening, forging a stronger link between the U.S. and Israel's Silicon Valleys. Total travel time will now be 15 hours to each way instead of 20 hours plus that it takes now. And finally, in case you were wondering where all the hubbub was, Venice's ghetto, the first in Europe built for Jews, is commemorating its 500th year this year. Ceremonies led by Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg kicked off the festivities. The cramped quarters, originally a foundry, with the word foundry in Italian is ghetto, who knew, held up to 5,000 residents at one point. Currently, 400 Jews live there, and they cater mostly to tourists. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Why go anywhere else when you go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of Passover products in Michigan. One Stop Kosher carries thousands of kosher for Passover items, and over 100 Passover items are on sale now. They even have kosher for Passover pizza, hamburger buns, and cake. One Stop Kosher has the largest selection of kosher for Passover wines as well. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs. Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. One Stop Kosher, located on Greenfield Road and 9 Mile between between 10 Mile and 696, is having a wine tasting today, and we're going to let our guest today, who is Simon Levine, an expert in the Midwest on kosher wine, is going to mention that and other things. How are you today, Simon?
Hello, Rabbi Finman. It's such a pleasure to speak with you again this year and to your audience. I just hope to share some information to enhance everyone's wine experience for Passover and beyond Passover.
That's exactly like I tell people at the end. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. So it's all about, it's knowledge is power. And like I say, we shouldn't have to drink heavily sweetened Malaga, 4 cups on the for the 4 cups at the Seder. So, kosher wine is definitely come of age. Kosher wines are winning awards all over the world, not for being kosher wines, but for being very good wines. Now, I have a story. I don't remember if I told this story the last time we spoke or not, but in 1977, I made my first kosher Passover in my mother's house. It was up to my then very strict standards, as opposed to her somewhat laxer standards, which is what I grew up with. Now, I have a cousin who has a wine cellar of 100 different wine bottles down there, which to me sounds like a lot of wines to be having sitting in down in your cellar. You could be drinking them, but... So I went into this store in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, and said, listen, I got this cousin who doesn't drink the stuff that I'm going to have to drink because that's all that's available. Have you got anything real? So he said, yeah, we got this new stuff. It's called Cabernet Sauvignon. He said it with a very thick Russian Yiddish accent. And he brings out this bottle, and I said, okay, looks good. How much is it? He said, $35. So I said, there's no way I'm spending $35 for a bottle of wine, which I didn't do the math, but that'd probably be like an $80 bottle of wine for today's market. And he said, why not? I said, well, if it's not worth it, then I wasted $35. But if it is worth it, then I'm never going to want to drink anything else ever again. And I can't afford a $35 bottle of wine. So my first question, Simon, now I've seen wine. They have these reserve wines and estate wines and library wines. We're talking wines that are $150 and up. Is a wine that's $150 worth $150, Simon?
Well, absolutely, it's worth $150 if you can appreciate what you're drinking. I like to tell people that wine is a lot like art. If you go to the art museum and you look at a piece of art on the wall, maybe you like it, maybe it looks good to you. But if you know something about the artist, you know something about the period, then there's a greater appreciation for the art. The same thing is with wine. If you're going to spend $150 or for that matter, even $50 for a bottle of wine, you should know something about what you're drinking. You don't have to spend that much money, but clearly there is a difference between $100, $150, even $50 wines compared to $20 and $30 wines, for sure.
Okay, so is it possible? I don't like wine, but maybe what I don't like are wines that are $15 wines. Is that possible?
Well, of course it's possible. I mean, there's better wine, and there's some wine out there that's not so good. I can tell you that we have, first of all, Royal Wine Corporation, who I'm representing, we have over 50 brands of wine and over 700 different wines to choose from at any given time, and there's more wines coming out all the time. In that price range, which is really the key price for most people, $10 to $15 wines, there's a lot of wines out there that are very, very good, and they're getting better and better all the time. So there is a difference, again, like I said, between a $50 and up bottle of wine and a $10 to $15 bottle, but those wines are still very delicious wines, and there's a quite a variety available here in Michigan.
Mm-hmm. I'm reminded, my mother, who was involved with fashion design, she would see somebody who was wearing something that she would refer to as, you know, really an awful outfit that this person was wearing, she would say, that person has taste in their mouth. So there is. So I gather that wine appreciation is all in the mouth. Now, I've seen these things where people, like, they swirl the glass and they give a little sniff and they exhale and they pucker. And is that necessary to appreciate wine? Can't listen, if I'm going to put, say, like, some soda in my mouth, I'm going to know right away whether I like it or I don't. I don't have to, like, breathe a certain way and see what kind of legs the soda has.
Yeah, so when you're drinking soda, of course, it's a lot different from drinking wine. With wine, there are a lot of different nuances to the wines. When you swirl the wine, when you smell the wine, all what you're doing is you're experiencing through different senses what that wine is all about. It's kind of hard to explain. It's a lot easier to experience it. One of the things that I like to do when we do the tastings, which again we're going to be doing today. I think about 3 o'clock, 3 to 8 o'clock today is I tell people, I show people how to drink a glass of wine. It's really important to smell the wine. A lot of the flavor of all foods, not only wine, it comes through your nose. So those are important things to do. The taste obviously is important, but the other things that you're doing enhances the taste as well.
Okay, so let's talk about the four cups. There is an obligation that the first night of Passover, which is Friday night, April the 22nd, Saturday night, did you fall down? And April the 23rd, we have to drink 4 cups of wine. The minimum size of a cup is a little bit more than 3.5 ounces per cup. It's really hard to find a 3.5 ounce cup. So let's say 4 ounces is the minimum size. The maximum size, if you wanted to down a flagon, then okay, that's fine. But you might wind up in the hospital if you did. So, but one of the ways that it's mentioned in the Talmud and the Code of Jewish Law is that you're supposed to, that because we're free people, so we're just supposed to drink it down in one show, not supposed to sip it and look at it and smell it, because now that we're free people, we're supposed to drink it in a, not a guzzling way, but just straight down. So this kind of like flies in the face of what we're just talking about, the proper etiquette. So maybe you could tell us, are there better wines then, which are good for downing for the 4 cups than, say, those that should be savored, per se, Simon Levine?
Absolutely. That's a really, really good question. The fact that you're gulping the glass down, which is the way you're supposed to be drinking it, as you said, does take away from being able to really experience the flavor of the wine itself. So I always recommend for most people to not necessarily spend a lot of money for the 4 cups. I mean, you can have a nice bottle of wine with the meal, but I do have some suggestions. I think maybe I can actually give some specific examples of what might be some good wines for the 4 cups. If you'd like me to do that,
Go ahead, please.
So any of the Kedem New York wines, which are about 7 to 12% alcohol. Now, those are sweeter wines, but they're relatively inexpensive, and a lot of people like those wines. We also have some low alcohol versions, which is called our Concord Cal and our Matup Cal. That's about 3.5 to 4.5% wine. I'm sorry, alcohol. Mm-hmm. So another, you know, another factor too is when you're drinking 4 cups of wine, you don't want to get too drunk either, and of course not be able to appreciate the whole evening. So a lot of people prefer the lower alcohol. Other than that, we also have the Rashi light wines, which are 6% alcohol. If people like a more structured wine, we have the Jeunesse semi-sweet wines, which are very popular.
Okay, let me interject right there. What's a structured wine? I'm thinking about bridge scaffolding.
Right. So a structured wine is a wine that has more like bite to it. There's tannins, which comes from the grape skins. That adds kind of like the dry puckeringness to the mouth feel when you drink a glass of wine. A lot of people who don't drink dry wine really don't like that feel in their mouth. So we've created this Jeunesse wine, which is a wine that has some of that dryness to it, but yet is still considered a sweet wine. It makes a really nice kind of bridge between dry and sweet. It's not too dry and it's not too sweet. It's something in between. And a lot of people really like to have that style of wine for the 4 cups.
Mm-hmm. What about,
if you're gonna,
I'm sorry. What about extra, like, added sugar to this? People are worried about calories too. There's, I mean, natural grape juice has 36 grams of sugar for an 8-ounce glass. It's a lot of sugar to be consuming.
It is a lot. It is a lot. We also, by the way, you know, Kettam grape juice, we also do a light Kettam juice for people who want 50% of the sugar. That's also another alternative. And then you can go into some of the drier wines. The thing, though, is with drier wines, you have a higher alcohol content, and the alcohol breaks down in your body is very similar to sugar. So it's kind of hard to get away from the calories when we're talking about drinking wine.
So it's kind of hard to have a dry 6% wine then, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, very difficult to have that, right? Because the more the drier the wine becomes, the less sweet it is. So, I mean, the more alcohol it has, the less sugar it has.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But on the drier side, I can make some suggestions for people who don't want any kind of a sweet wine, yet is relatively inexpensive. And that would be pretty much any of the Baron Herzog, Barkan Classic, or Mount Tabor brand wines, which are really good values. And a lot of people like to drink those for the four cups as well.
Okay. Now, let's say I'm trying to develop all kinds of different scenarios because I'm trying to project what the interests of the audience might be. I would like to impress people with the wine that I'm serving for my four cups and that I'm not using the sickly sweet grape syrup that people are accustomed to, but I have come into age of my wine drinking. And I want to impress people, but let's say I don't want to break the bank because I'm having a lot of people over. It's four glasses of wine. There's basically, you're thinking five glasses of wine per bottle and how many people I'm having over divided by that. So what would you suggest then, Simon Levine?
Well, I can suggest on the sweeter side, I would suggest any of the Bartonura red wines we have, the Malvasia or the Brichetto. If I want a more drier wine, the Carmel Appellation Series wine, Tabora Damas Series wines. We also have this new brand, Tepperberg. It's actually new in Michigan. The brand has been around. Actually, it's the oldest Israeli wine brand since 1870. All of these wines are in about the $20 per bottle range, anyways from $15 to $20 per bottle, which fits most people's budget if you want to have a better wine. And then you can go, of course, up from there.
Okay. Now, there are people who are listening to the show who do have the means and want to really go whole cow, as the expression might be. So if we're talking about, you know what, I really want to ask the question before I get into that one, is many kosher wines, because of halacha concerns, of the strict legal concerns, the wines are called mevushel, it says, which mevushel, depending on who you ask, means that basically the wine is pasteurized, either 180 degrees or 212 degrees. Does that affect the flavor and the intrinsic integrity of the wine by doing that? Is it possible to have a good mevushel wine, or if that wine would be better if it wasn't, hadn't been pasteurized, Simon?
Well, there's two differing thoughts on that. Personally, and I spoke to a lot of people who are very big wine connoisseurs, and they cannot tell the difference between mevushel and non-mevushel wines. And a lot of that is because of the way the wines are made mevushel. The way they're pasteurized today is a lot different than how it was done years ago. Now, there are some people who say they can taste the difference. I think for most people, and even most people who are big wine drinkers, have a very difficult time to do it in a blind taste test. No. So
let me interject. Have you ever done such a test yourself personally?
I have. Yes, I have. And I personally cannot tell the difference. There are people who have much better palates, much better tasters than I am, I have to say. But the truth of the matter is a lot of the more expensive wines today, they're making them mevushel. The better quality wines are making mevushel because a lot of people, when they go out, especially to a restaurant, mevushel, or if they go to a wedding or a bar mitzvah, that is a requirement that you can serve only mevushel wines. So mm-hmm. the better quality wines are now becoming more. At one time, the better wines were never made mevushel. But now there's quite a few. Shiloh is one that comes to mind, Shiloh wines that we have here in Michigan are excellent, excellent wines, very highly rated, 90 point, which is world-class quality wines that are mevushel.
Okay, so now let's talk about this rating system. So let's say I saw somebody sent me, everything's online someplace. So somebody sent me to try out an app. I don't remember what the app was, and I wasn't really interested in checking it out. It's you hold your phone, you log into the app, and you hold your phone over the wine, and then the app gives you a rating as to how good this wine is. I don't know if you've seen such apps. But what about the reliability of rating systems? Like, so someone says this is a 90 point. I'm assuming 90 is out of 100. So how is that such a rating determined? And is this information available? Can I find out what the Rashi line online someplace, what their rating was?
Well, I've heard of these apps. I can't speak to the one in particular that you're talking about. But anytime you have a rating, it's really a very subjective thing. I mean, it depends on who the people who are doing the rating is. So we rely on, mention that wines have certain scores, we mention the three biggest rating magazines, which is Wine Enthusiast Magazine, Wine Advocate, and Wine Spectator. Those are considered to be the most reliable magazines that rate wines. And so when I say a wine is 90 point or higher wine, that is based on these publications or publications similar to them that have a following. When you do something on an app, I don't know who's behind the rating. These people are well known in the industry. And you know, when we say our wines are rated, we're comparing our wines, or I should say our kosher wines, to all the other wines out there that aren't kosher. So it's really a testimony to the quality of kosher wines today that they can measure up on a world-class level with non-kosher wines.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about like reputations. Is it better to say have, you know, French versus Italian versus California versus New York versus South African versus Chilean versus Argentinian versus Australia versus Israel?
You know, that's like saying is blue better than red? Is red better than green? I mean, they're all very different. They all bring different flavors and different profiles to what it is. They're different. I wouldn't say one is better. There are different, in each of these countries that you mentioned, there are different regions within the countries where the grapes are better quality. But I don't think you can compare French to Italian to California to these places. They're just different.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you're just joining us, we are online with Mr. Simon Levine, who is an expert in kosher wine here in the Midwest, and we're talking about getting ready for Passover and our wine consumption. So I have to drink four cups of wine during the meal, and you kind of sort of suggested, but you could get a better bottle of wine for like the meal itself. Now, we have two cups of wine beforehand, and we have two cups of wine afterwards. So if I want to have something better in between, but I still want to be able to drink the two cups afterwards. So what are you going to suggest, Simon, for like a meal wine? Most people are either having chicken or beef, per se, at the meal, which isn't going to go push me over the top since I've already had two cups of wine and I have two more to go.
Sure. So before we talk about the main course, we should also talk about the fish. You know, a lot of people have fish before they have the main course. Mm-hmm. And fish, you really want to have a lighter style wine. When I say a lighter style, I'm really talking about white wines. So, for example, somebody who is looking for an inexpensive bottle of wine to have with their fish, I would recommend going with a 10 to $15 bottle of wine like a Baron Herzog Chenin Blanc. Or Chenin Blanc Viognier, which is a blend. It's an excellent wine for fish and for lighter foods. A better wine would be maybe a Beniamina Chardonnay or a Goose Bay, which is a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. And then you can go up from there. A Russian River, a Herzog Russian River Chardonnay, Shiloh Chardonnay, Castel Chardonnay. Those are all really very high quality wines. Now, I'm suggesting when I'm talking about the fish, obviously better bottles of wine because these are wines that you don't gulp down. These are wines that you enjoy with the food that you're eating. So you can spend a little bit more because you're going to enjoy the wine a little bit better than you would for the four cups. So that's what I would suggest for fish would be lighter wines. For the main course, like you said, brisket or roast, you want to probably go with something that is, you know, a red wine, a Cabernet usually. A Cabernet is an excellent wine that goes well with brisket and goes well with other types of red meats. Suggestion again in the $10 to $12 range would be a Barkan Cabernet. Carmel Selected Cabernet is also a very good a wine and very, very good, well-priced wines. And you should notice, too, I think you're noticing, a lot of the wines I'm recommending are Israeli wines. Mm-hmm. And that's not by accident. A lot of the wines today, especially kosher wines today, that come from Israel are really great values. And we have them, again, from low price on up. So I'm suggesting a lot of Israeli wines because they really are excellent, excellent wines that we have.
Go ahead.
Just to go up to a little bit, something a little bit better, if they want to have, again, with their brisket, with their red meat, Tepperberg Impressions, which is a new brand that we just brought in. It's a really excellent wine, or Tabor Adam Cabernet. And then you can go up from there. We have, for the connoisseurs, we have the Castel Grand Vin, the Covenant Cabernet, Siegel's Unfiltered Cabernet. So that would cover the red meat. And then into the chickens, depending if it's mild or more flavorful chicken, you probably want to stay with lighter reds for the more flavorful, like a Pinot Noir is a good wine. Hagufen Pinot Noir is a California Pinot Noir that's terrific. Or again, Baron Herzog or Barkan. And then lighter wines for the mild chicken, and turkey. Again, going maybe to some of the red, to some of the whites.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, let me just discuss. We got to wrap this up because we're running out of time. Unfortunately, I'm fascinated by this. My daughter just went to Israel, and she brought me back a bottle of mead from a label I had never heard about. And I went online to look around, and it's not available. I don't remember the name of the label, unfortunately. But this entire label is not available in the States. So how is it, Royal Wine, which is a major importer of wine into the States, what's the process by which these wines are, which are coming from all over the world? My brother's actually working now on a kosher wine from Albania. You know, so how is it that Royal Wine will pick up a certain line or variety of wine, Simon Levine?
Well, we import wines from 15 different countries around the world. We always, first and foremost, is what's the quality of the wine and what's the price of the wine? You know, it's one thing to have a wine that is delicious, but it could be overpriced, or it could be a wine that's not so good. We're not going to bring that in. A lot of the wineries, especially in Israel has over 350 wineries today. In a small country like that, that's a lot of wineries. Unfortunately, a lot of them are very small. They produce maybe 10,000 cases a year, which is not enough for them to really be a winery that can export. We have to be able to have at least 100,000 maybe cases of wine a winery has to produce a year in order for it to be make sense for us to import it. Maybe not 100,000, maybe 75 to 100,000, but a lot more than many of these wineries have. So this mead product that you're talking about, it could be a great wine, but maybe they don't make enough of it. So it's hard to import something if you don't have enough quantity.
Mm-hmm. Understood. That could be one reason. Okay. Now, one last question, and then we have to wrap it up totally. So, Simon Levine, your birthday is the day before Passover, and your favorite richest uncle gives you your absolute dream bottle of wine. What did he give you, Simon?
Oh, well, he could give me a lot of different bottles. I would say probably one of my favorite bottles of wine would be the Castel Grand Vin. It's an excellent blend, an Israeli blend. Covenant Cabernet from Napa Valley is an excellent bottle. Alexander the Great is another bottle.
No,
there's so many.
Did you say great or grape?
Alexander the Great.
Oh, okay.
Those are all excellent, really relatively expensive, but excellent bottles of wine. But again, you don't have to go there. I don't need to have a rich uncle to be able to have really, really good wine.
Okay, that's going to wrap us up. Thank you so much, Simon Levine, expert in kosher wine here in the Midwest, for coming on, taking up some of your time and enlightening us. And we wish you a happy and a healthy Passover.
Don't forget to stop by today and see me over at the One Stop. We'll be there from 3 to 8 o'clock. And if you can't make it tomorrow, we'll be there this Thursday from 2 to 8, I believe.
2 to 8. So it's 3 to 8 today and 2 to 8 on Thursday. Okay, very
That's
good.
Correct. All right.
Okay, take care. And my continued success. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Stop paying more than your fair share of property tax now. I'm Stephen Poulter, attorney at law and president of Express Property Tax Appeals. Right now, your commercial property tax assessments are in the mail. Like many commercial property owners, you're probably paying unnecessary and exorbitant property taxes, potentially costing you hundreds of thousands of dollars every year. Express Property Tax Appeals can help. I recently reduced one of my clients' property tax values by $2 million, realizing $250,000 in real tax dollar savings. I can do the same for you. If you're a commercial property owner, manager, or broker, and are tired of paying more than your fair share of property tax, call Express Property Tax Appeals now at 855-LOW-TAX-9 or online at lowtax9.com. That's 855-LOW-TAX-9 or online at lowtax9.com. You have nothing to lose except your looming property tax burden. I'm Stephen Poulter with Express Property Tax Appeals, and I look forward to saving you money on your property taxes.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Hey, Shel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. This is really exciting. You don't, you know, the fact that that people don't have to drink really wine for Passover, and they can actually maybe get through the Passover Seders and enjoy them, is really very exciting. Like I say, back in when I first became religious in 1976, the choice was, do you want the sickly sweet Malaga Concord grape stuff, which caused diabetic shock, or there was the white, which was a Sauterne, which tasted like an excreted bodily fluid. You should pardon me for saying so. But so now you don't have to worry about that. So check it out. Go to One Stop. I mean, if especially between 3 and 8 today, they're giving away free tastes. I mean, you know, so you get to see, no, this one's got too much tannin. Oh, this is good. Oh, what about that $50 bottle of wine there, Simon? Can we break that one open? Let's just check. Anyway, so now, up for your listening pleasure, this is Ellie Marcus. You may know Ellie Marcus. He's half of the Eighth Day Duo, but here he's doing solo. This is a wedding song simply called Mazel Tov. Let's listen.
Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mama Mazel Tov, Hineni bazel lehabiya b'chosi b'chas Mazel Tov. Mazel tov, mazel tov, mama, mama, mazel tov. Hine ni bazel lehabiya b'chosi b'lchas mazel tov. Besimen tov, mazel tov, mama, mama, mazel tov. Hine ni bazel lehabiya b'chosi b'lchas mazel tov. Mazel tov, mazel tov, mama, mama, mazel tov. Hine ni bazel lehabiya b'chosi b'lchas mazel tov. Tishot hayom utzlachas minyan aliyah. Nagit shok in a mazel dik shom mit simchei mit vrein sin to be mazel to mama mama mazel to bin ni bazel le habia mit khosi bil khas mazel to mazel to mazel to mama mazel to bin ni bazel le habia mit khosi bil khas mazel to mazel to be mazel to mazel 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 to nagit shok in a mazel dik shom bil khas mazel to
Of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. So I came across this song. It's called Shabbos Kodesh. Not Shabbos Kodesh, but Shabbos Kodesh, which is more of a Polish-Yiddish pronunciation of the expression the Holy Sabbath. This is a 1914 recording. I hope it actually comes out well through the airwaves. I'm very critical of how things sound, and I was listening to a bunch of pieces that were from 1912 to 1918, and some of them just, the remastering just wasn't of the quality needed for playing on the over the radio waves. But I believe this is Hyman Altman. Hyman Altman was actually a star of the Yiddish theater, and also, as the expression goes, as I saw in the biography, a Welt berühmt Chazen, a world famous cantor. So let's. This is just for you. This is Hyman Altman, Shabbos Kodesh, 1914.
Ganze Welt ist alles hier, der Lebfahrt macht. Alle Gefrüchten, die sind wie zwei Krug im Nacht. Er sagt im Morgen, aber wem sagt das mit dem Zeug? Der Lieb, der ihn fliegt in den Weg, alle Freund. Er leidet durch, sind jetzt hier im Monat durch. Sein Waffen, Kinder, hängen alle im Mund. Mein Haar wird mein Arbeit, den Tag ist viel mit wem. Bis der Kabel Freude schämt. Dann wird das ja ganz frisch. I'm saying it after the tune. It's good to see me smiling, even see. I saw the sight of a new sunlight in the sky of the sea sunlight. Trail of things that the sea sunlight. Oh my God, it's a bear. I saw the sight of a new sunlight. Mit dem Lachs in dem Tickerle. An es hat Trinkerle na jedem Winkerle. Wie gesehnt der liebe Schabes Kodesh. Ich habe ihm die Europäische Arbeit für die Anot. Er ist ein Schwitzen nicht bei der Martin, dem Klopp. Time of the overtime, rushes up the game. Time's about the season, with the bottles in the aim. Time is with the way of kein Sachen in the Kant. I can be dressed with Babel, look and pull him to the band. I leave the book, the ganze Welt, the tour is in the tour. This is the Kabel, so it is in the tour. And the tour is your country. This thing is a day, the
I'm gonna leave a job.
or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Hey, Herschel Fidman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. We have time for one more song. This is a Shira Choir. We're going from one end of the spectrum to the other, from one of the first Jewish recordings in 1914. This was recorded this week by the Shira Choir. The song is entitled Lo HaMesim. It is taken from the songs of praise which are sung on the new moon and the occasions of every holiday. The words mean that the dead can't praise you, but we bless you, O Lord. Let's listen in. We'll be right back. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hey, Shulfinman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. The portion of the week is the portion of Tazria, this week and next week. I like it. Usually they're combined as one portion, Tazria Metzora, because then it's a single unit that deals with the malaise known as Tsaras, which probably has a root in the Hebrew word Tsaras, which has been Yiddishized, which means like suffering and affliction, and might be the root of the Greek word psoriasis. So, you know, all those PS words are all Greek. As you say, it's all Greek to me. So, but it's not a skin malaise of psoriasis. It's a whole separate thing. It's tsaras. This was a spiritual malaise, which came upon a person when they were sort of like just straying beyond the straight path. If a person sort of like gossiped or exhibited pride or greed or overstepping their authority, so they would get this spot on their arm and they would then have to leave the inhabited area until the spot went away. So this stopped happening about 2,000 and change years ago because if, for example, everybody who gossiped suddenly had spots and they had to leave the inhabited area, how many people would be left in the inhabited area? So since it was an early warning system for people to get their acts together, the Almighty reckoned that, well, they're not listening to the early warning system. There's no point in beating the issue down. So we're not going to do that anymore. So in a way, you might say, well, it's a good thing we don't get this malaise anymore, but it's not a good thing because we weren't adhering to it and we weren't keeping to the straight and narrow. The portion of Tazria is always read in proximity to Passover. Either it's a couple weeks before or it's a week or two after. But there's always this, it's definitely around the Passover holiday, depending on leap years. These things, we talked about that last week. We're not going to go into it again this week. So the Shalom HaKodesh, who was a 17th century philosopher, maintained that if a portion fell in conjunction with some sort of holiday, there must be an intrinsic connection between the two. So look at the holiday of Passover. It says about Passover that we know that Jews refrain from eating any sort of fermented grain product. Now, fermentation occurs, the beginning of fermentation, even not the end. We're not talking about alcohol, which is the end of the fermentation process. We're talking at the very beginning. If you take flour, mix it with water, and leave it sit there, in 18 minutes, it will begin to ferment. That is prohibited to be eaten on Passover. It says that a person who is careful to the slightest crumb not to consume it during Passover of this chametz mixture, of this fermented grain mixture. It says, if you'll be careful about that, so Hashem says, we'll say, well, you're careful about that. The rest of the stuff must be good too, and doesn't really give a good look at what you're doing. So it's a way, you might say, to show the Almighty that we want to be in a relationship which is careful right down to the smallest crumb. We, unfortunately, have to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? RabbiFinman.com. www.rabbifinman.com. Right on the homepage, I have a contact link. It goes right into my inbox. I get your mail instantaneously. It's a wonderful thing. You have some kind of comment that you want to make, a query, a criticism, anything you want to do. You want to know anything about Judaism? That's fine. I'm ready to talk about anything. I don't talk politics. But anything else? You got it. Call, direct your comments to RabbiFinman.com. What else will you find on RabbiFinman.com? Well, archived editions of the show for the last 5 weeks. You'll also have archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story classes, which are all hopefully presented in a way which is entertaining and educational, because we want to make Judaism fun. God is warm and fuzzy, yes. You'll also find the very important donations page. It didn't happen. I was so hoping that in March we'd be able to get it together and say that in the first week of March we came into the studio, we paid our bill, which is when it's due. It was due, actually, technically speaking, it was due Friday as the first of April, which is not April Fools when it comes to paying bills. Nobody was laughing when I walked in without paying the bill. No. Oh, Rabbi Finman, No, that didn't happen. They are quite patient, and they do let us go. We are current, but it's April, and it would be good if we could get this thing paid before Passover so that I could not worry about doing such a thing during Passover. So if you have the time right now, right after, as soon as, you know, at 1 o'clock when the show's over, go to your computer, go to RabbiFinman.com, click on the donations page. There's all different tabs of different numbers. You don't like any of those numbers? Guess what? There's a whole infinity of numbers from one to infinity that you can pick. Enter it in. It's all safe and secure through PayPal. You have a PayPal account. It'll take you 30 seconds. If you don't, you use a credit card. It will take you 3 minutes. And you can set it up such that it's a reoccurring every month at the same day, same amount. We'll continue to do it. And you don't even have to think about it. And you're supporting the Jewish Hour. You're giving charity. God loves you. We love you. The IRS loves you. Everybody loves you. It's a win-win-win situation for everybody if you do that. If you are uncertain and uneasy about internet credit card transactions, I understand. That's why you can send your donation of any amount to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. This story involves a student, a disciple of the Baal Shem Tov, who learned from the Baal Shem Tov to have complete and absolute faith in God, which is a lot of what Passover is all about, and we'll talk about this in the upcoming weeks. He ran a tavern in a certain city. There was a person who was involved with the clergy in that town who really hated this Jewish tavern owner. And so he issued an edict that before Passover, it is customary for people who want to hold on to their leavened grain, such as this man would want his barrels of alcohol, that they actually sell them to a non-Jewish person, because there's no problem with a non-Jewish person owning this stuff during Passover. Whereas if a Jew were to own them, he could not have any benefit, which is why, if you are Jewish, contact me at RabbiFinman.com, and we'll arrange to sell your chametz for you. It doesn't involve any money. It doesn't involve anybody coming to your house. It involves filling out a simple form, authorizing me to act as your agent to sell your chametz. And it's very, very, very important that you do this. So given this person would be out of luck. So he went the day before Passover, went to his local, one of his patrons, and said, I want you to buy my chametz, my leavening. He said, nope, I'm not allowed. He said, okay, found another one. Nope, no one would buy it. So he said, okay, you know what, Almighty? I am making my store ownerless. I don't own any of the grain products in this building. And he even left the door open, because it is now totally, how do you leave something ownerless in a locked property? Nope, it's ownerless. And he let it be known that nobody owns this stuff, because he was not going to own because owning grain products on Passover is also a prohibition, even if you don't eat them. So he spent his 8 days of Passover not thinking a thing about his business. The day after Passover, he's thinking, okay, let me go check out the destruction that used to be my tavern. He fully expected he's going to have to move out and go find another place because he's not going to be able to pay for all of those things that he got destroyed. And he walks into this towards the tavern. He sees this old dog, just old dog. So he says, hey, get out of here. Shooed the dog away. He walks in. Nothing is touched. Just the way he left it. First customer comes and says, what happened? He said, yeah, you made it over ownerless, but then you put that vicious dog to guard the place. He said, what are you talking about? Vicious? What? There was an old dog. I kicked it away. He said, no. Anybody would come near that, come near the door, this thing would bite and chase. People got hurt from this dog. The Almighty takes care. That's going to do it for us. I'm going to thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. If you got time between 3 and 8, stop over at One Stop in Southfield on Greenfield Road. Check out the wine. Come back again next week. Take care.